And I'm not saying every Lord's Day is a special day. But I want us to do what I believe they did in the first century church. I'll show you that in just a moment. Where the congregation gathered themselves together and did something in the sight of God and for His glory in order to appoint men to serve in the role of elder or deacon. In Acts chapter 14, if you would like to look at that with me. In Acts 14, beginning in verse 21, it said, "When they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned." This is talking about Paul and Barnabas. "They returned to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed." You realize what that just said to you from what they did in the first century church? They gathered themselves together and they had what I believe was a special appointment ceremony where they gathered themselves and acknowledged that these men who are now to become our elders in this church, we're here to pray with them and to commit them to the Lord. God had a plan, didn't he? God had a plan for organization of the church. He knew the first century church was under great persecution and trials. Paul in Acts chapter 14 had just been stoned and left for dead. Men in that city of Lystra saw him basically lying there on the ground as if he were dead. Then he gets back up. He stays with them a while. He comes back through the city after he finishing his first missionary journey. And there are men now who are qualified to become elders in the church. God had a plan, even though Rome had its plan and the Jerusalem Sanhedrin had their plan. God had His plan. And His plan was going to take them down through the course of history all the way to today. And God's plan is to be revered. God's plan is to be honored and respected. And what they did in the first century church, we're going to try to do today in the 21st century church. The church is only as strong as its leaders, isn't it? Any organization is only as strong as its leaders. And God designed that there would be leaders in a congregation who met certain qualifications of leadership, in which you would read, and we've already studied in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in Titus chapter 1. And we've asked this congregation to do what we saw the church there do. Look out from among them and find men who meet the certain qualifications that God, the Holy Spirit, has laid down. God had a plan. And what was going on in Acts 14 and again in Acts chapter 6 and places like that was God was, through the course of history, from the Babylonian Empire to the Medo-Persian Empire, the Macedonian Empire, and then ultimately the Roman Empire. And then he said in Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, when he was giving the interpretation of the man's dream, he said, "In the days of these kings, the God of heaven would set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, nor shall the kingdom be left to another people. It shall break in pieces all these kingdoms and bring them to an end, and it shall stand forever." That church is here today with us. We're among it. We are it. God's plan, when Rome fell and Jerusalem Sanhedrin is no longer in existence, the kingdom of God exists. And the organization of the church is what helps sustain that through the centuries. And what we are doing today is honoring God's plan and thus honoring God. Even though we might be designating certain men, we want you to understand that when we come to shake their hand or when we give them acknowledgement through word of encouragement or blessing, that what we're doing is looking up and we're saying, "God, thank you. We honor you for what you've organized. In Philippians chapter 1 and in verse 1, the Bible says, as you read that epistle of that great church in Philippi that Paul was so in love with, he made the statement, Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, notice what he says now, who are in Philippi with the overseers or bishops, the episkopos is the word, and the deacons. You see here, in one succinct passage of Scripture, the organization of the church, the elders and the deacons and the saints. We can read also of evangelists, but that's the idea. They're saints as well. So when you put that organization together, that's what you see God organizing the church to be. And it's our responsibility to do what they did and to look out among ourselves and to find men who meet those certain qualifications. And then there was a warning given in Acts chapter 20 and in verse 28 when Paul called for the elders of the church in Ephesus to come to the city of Troas and meet with him. And he says this to them. Be careful, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit, through his qualifications that he authorized, has made you bishops or overseers to care for or to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. The eldership, according to what Paul was giving them there, was to be overseers. The word bishop or episkopos in the Greek is just simply a word that means a man charged with the duty of seeing that things to be done by others are done rightly. A curator, if you look at it from a museum standpoint, a guardian, a superintendent. God authorized there would be men who would be called overseers to see over the work that God has himself authorized. They're not to be legislatures set in motion, but they are to be those who make sure that what is done is carried out according to God's plan. And in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, that's what happened. We then read those qualifications. We're not going to read them all. We've already studied those. When the Bible says, if anyone aspires to the office or desires the office of a bishop or an overseer, he desires a noble task or a noble work. In fact, that's what it is, a work. It's not an office to where they stand and say, look at me. It's a work that they have volunteered for so that they can carry out God's will in their lives. Therefore, an overseer must be, and then he lists about 17 qualifications in that reading, and in Titus he adds a few more, ultimately totaling 23 qualifications. The congregation here, with its eldership, has asked you to look out among ourselves and to see, are there men who meet those qualifications who will lead your soul or to do the work as an either an elder or a deacon in this congregation? You've done your work. I believe you've done it very well. We received a large number of nominations from this congregation. The eldership got together. We talked about all those. We saw what was obvious from your desires, that there are certain men that met the qualifications of an elder or of a deacon. And we asked them, would they like to serve? Would they be willing to serve? Would they aspire or desire that office? They've said yes. And so thanks be to God. There are men here who will become either an elder or a deacon this day. What a wonderful thing that is. The passage that Jay read to us a few moments ago in Acts chapter 6, we see an organization or how God sought them to do this. And so he says, pick out from among yourselves, like I was just saying. And they found the men who were qualified. We've read those qualifications. We found those men. And now today we're going to appoint them to this duty. We're going to appoint them to this duty. Think about that. Because then what says is, and what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose those men. I pray that it pleased you. You know, every time we go through this process, there's always going to be somebody that's just not going to be happy with it all. How come I didn't get chosen, or how come that person didn't get chosen, or whatever it is? But what we ultimately see is in Acts chapter 6 is, they got together, and I'm sure not everybody chose those seven men in Acts 6. And some people didn't get chosen who others thought they ought to be chosen. But when it was all said and done, the Bible tells us that they set them before the apostles, they prayed, and they laid their hands on them. And then notice what else that happened. When that took place, Here's what took place. The word of God continued to increase and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly. What we're doing here this morning on this special red letter day, we're adding another man to the eldership. We're adding three more men to the role of deacon. And by the doing of that, as we have seen over the course of our history, when I moved here in 1986, there was no eldership. I was about the oldest man in the church, and I was 33. And so we didn't have men who could be qualified to be elders. But in time, we developed that. And 11 years later, in 1997, on December the 9th, still a red letter day to me, we chose our first two elders in the church, Wilson Copeland and Jack Wiley. They were put in, and then we put in some deacons afterward, right after that. And the church, I believe if you look at the history of that, then began to really take off. God's plan works. The church has grown. It's been at peace. And this church has, I believe, pleased God over these years by that. And over the course of time, we've added 12 men to the eldership and almost 20 men to the role of deacon. They're not all here now. Some have moved away. But the idea is, look what happens when you begin to promote God's plan and how the church, when they follow that plan, will grow in that plan. God's plan works. What we're talking about here this morning is that we're going to have a special moment in which there is going to be fellowship and the commitment of men to the Lord. What I mean by that is, the Bible speaks in the book of Galatians as those who give the right hand of fellowship. And fellowship, by its very definition, is a spiritual word. It's not found as a secular word at all in Scripture. Every time it's found, it's always a spiritual thing that's being done. And the fellowship is a giving and a receiving. You have to have two to have fellowship. One who extends and one who accepts and receives. And the right hand of fellowship was not just a shaking of hands. It was an acknowledgement of, I'm in this with you. I am for you. I endorse this. I am going to do everything I can to make this work. This relationship, whether it be just two people or whether it be a congregational level. And what we're trying to do here is have fellowship with Peter Hirschman, who is now going to be put in as an elder in this church to join some other men. And then also the three deacons that we'll mention in just a moment. But just stop and think about what we're about to accomplish here. It might not seem much as if you're a visitor or just you've been here for a short time or just recently were baptized, and you might not even have any idea of what's about to take place. But I'll tell you, in heaven, there's excitement and there's joy because God's plan is being fulfilled. And every time we can see in the Scriptures when God's plan was put into effect and implemented, the disciples grew, the church grew. And that's what we're trying to do here. The sign of fellowship is not just the shaking of hands. I realize what we're about to do is we're going to ask the congregation, the four men that we're going to choose, that has been chosen, to stand up here, two on one side of the table, two on the other. And then we're going to have everybody who wants to and who is comfortable with that. I recognize we've got three cases of COVID in this congregation right now. Not here, but they're at home now. But just the idea that if you don't feel comfortable shaking hands, these men have all agreed that it's fine to shake their hand. They're all agreed to that. But if you don't feel comfortable to that, that's understandable. That's still, you can still have the understanding of fellowship by just simply giving an acknowledgement of that. God bless you. God be with you. Just a word of encouragement. And if you don't even feel comfortable coming by this morning, that's understandable too. There's no judgments being made here. But just the idea that we all acknowledge that what we're doing is saying, Peter, we're placing ourselves under your leadership. We're asking you to help us to go to heaven. We're going to follow your example. Thank you for accepting this role, this task, this duty to watch for my soul. God bless you for that. And I'll do everything I can to make your job, your work, without grief. And then we're going to have the three men stand here who want to be deacons in this congregation. They've accepted the role. And what that means is, it's a word which means a servant, which means I'm willing to serve and spend and be spent, as Paul put it. I'm willing to do anything and everything you ask of me that the elders ask of me to help this church to be all it can be. It takes everyone in this church to be that committed to this. And what we're then now going to do is we're going to have then a prayer of commitment. We're going to ask Richard Jones, if he would, to lead us in that prayer. And then after the prayer, we're going to have everybody come by. We're going to start from here. You're first. And we're going to come by. I have two men here, two here. You come by. You can either speak to them or shake their hand or hug them. I might not want the holy kiss, but just the idea that we have this sign of fellowship given. And then when this congregation, everybody, we're going to go back to the back here, and then we're going to start in the back. After this last row is gone, then you come forward and then circle around and go back and go back to your seat. Go all the way down to the front here. Benita will be the last one here, and then Randy will follow and follow her, just follow her lead. And then when we finally get done, then we're going to give an invitation, and then we'll sing a song, and then we'll be dismissed. So we're going to do that now. And then at the end, or as after everybody's done here, we're going to have Peter speak to us, and then I'll do the invitation, and then we'll be dismissed. So let's do that now, if you please. This might seem, again, it's a little bit strange to some of you, but I hope that you'll see. This has been a tradition. We've done that here for a number of, almost in every installment of the elders and deacons here. So we're asking you to follow in this tradition. We think it's a good one, and we think it's also a scriptural one. So God bless you. If we'll ask the four men to come forward and stand up here. John Black, yeah, Matt Heilig, and Mike Robinson, and then Peter Hirschman. And then we're up here, we're going to ask Richard, if he will, to come up and say the prayer, and then we will begin with the procession.
Prayer. Dear God, our Father, we come humbly before you during this service, thankful for all the blessings and mercies that you've shown us, thankful for your word, your instruction, for the church, for our Savior, and for the ability to talk with you in prayer. At this time, we pray for the appointment and installation, and commit an elder and three deacons to the leadership and work of the Northwest Church, specifically Peter Hirschman as elder, and Mike Robinson and Matt Heilig and John Black as deacons. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, God, for your blessings for this day, for this very moment, and the men to be installed to the office of elder, Peter Hirschman. We pray for blessings for Peter and Jennifer and their family as Peter assumes the office of elder. To the office of deacon, Matt Heilig, John Black, and Mike Robinson, blessings to Matt and Cassie and John and Emily and Mike and Rachel and their families. To the office of deacon. This moment is beginning of new responsibility for each, and a moment to rejoice to God, rejoice for this fellowship and for our church family, a moment of serious and thoughtful commitment to God and to the church, both for these men and their families and this fellowship to them. We in this public moment and for this church family, we acknowledge these men and their families. We acknowledge and rejoice in the continuing development of godly leadership and the fulfillment of extending that leadership to include more individuals, more families, and the next generation of qualified and willing leaders and families. For the office of eldership, Peter and Jennifer and family, Morgan and Gabriel and Grant. Father, we know Peter and Jennifer. They've been here for many years, and we've been witness to the growth, to their growth, and this godly couple and the family that they are. They have been an integral part to the growth and work of this church family. We publicly and before God commit Peter to the role of elder and all that entails. We pray for Peter as an elder and ask all to continue to pray for Peter and Jennifer and their family as he commits to this work, as he commits to the eldership and that good work. We have seen the results of his efforts, and they have been significant. Bless him in all things, faith and endurance and knowledge and patience. Bless Peter as an integral part of the eldership. Bless his leadership and willingness to always look to the Scripture for guidance. Father, for the office of deacon, Father John and Emily Black, we've gotten to know them and watched as their family has grown. Even as we've known Emily and her growing up amongst us, we know their participation in service and in teaching and in the work of this fellowship. We've watched them raise their young family to this point. Father, we ask you to bless them and keep them, and ask this church family to remember them always in prayer. Matt and Cassie and their family, we have watched them as they've grown as Christians and as they have become a family, and as their family has grown and is growing. Their willingness to work and teach and serve, and also have watched and witnessed them raise their young family to now. Father, we ask that you would bless and protect and keep them. And we ask this church family to remember them always in their prayers. Mike and Rachel and their daughters have been with us relatively a shorter time. In that time, we have seen them and their devotion to service, their willingness to serve, their knowledge of the word, their involvement in many facets of the work here. We've gotten to know their family. Father, protect them, bless them, and keep them. And we ask this church family to always remember them in their prayers. For Matt, Mike, and John, we commit these men to the office of deacon and service to God in that role. Bless them in that service. It is with the complete support of each elder and the recognition of and support of this congregation, this church family, this fellowship, that these men assume these offices. As such, we pray and resolve that we will continue to pray for each one, to respect and support these men, and to make this new responsibility not any greater burden than we possibly can, and be an encouragement to them. We pray that in unity of purpose and in fellowship, we will continue to advance our faith in you, Father, knowledge and growth of your word in this place, and will support and maintain fellowship one with another, nurturing, teaching, and supporting one another, and advance your good news and the fellowship that we share through Jesus Christ, and be lights in this world. We commend these men, their wives, and their families to this service, and your rich blessings on each. Praise be to God. Praise be to you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, I promise to be brief. I almost made it through the first 5 minutes of the service, not even the fellowship. For those of you who know me, I will be transitioning from weeping deacon to weeping elder, and I am not ashamed of that. I wanted to say thank you to Richard for the prayer, to Rick and Andy and Caleb, who's not with us, but for all the lessons that have prepared us for this moment. And I want to thank all of you here today for your fellowship just now, your support, your kind words and prayers in advance of today, and the support throughout. I will not give a detailed day-by-day recount of my spiritual journey. I think I have done a sermon on my conversion, and certainly welcome to find that. But here's the short version of that. In 1994, I met a young lady who is still a young lady, my wife. And one Saturday, she and I were out on a date, and I said, I guess I'll see you on Monday. And she said, well, I guess you will, unless you want to come to church with me tomorrow. And I did. And the rest, as they say, is history. I was ultimately baptized in 1998, one August Sunday morning. And we moved here in January of 2000. Became members sometime that year after meeting with Jack and Wilson. And at that time, of course, we were pretty sure that we were not going to stay in Minnesota for much more than about 3 years. And here we are 20-some years later, all of our children having been born here, and this congregation really being the first and only congregation that I've ever been a member of, officially. And this has been our home. It has been such a blessing for us to raise our family here. And as we look back and think about that three-year plan we had and realize that we've been here 22-plus, we see the hand of God in that. Our family would not be the family it is without you. And I hope the same is true for some of you and your family, as we've been privileged to watch many of you who are now 30-somethings, 20-somethings, and teenagers grow up. It's been a joy to see you grow up, to teach you, to be taught by you and your example as well. And we couldn't be more pleased to be part of this congregation. I don't remember the exact year that Bob Guzzo and I think Tim Applegate and I were all installed as deacons. It was 2007 or 8, if I recall correctly. It has been truly an honor and a privilege to serve this congregation as a deacon in that time. I have had various roles, one of which being benevolence. And not many people know this, or not many people get to see it, but this church is an extremely loving church. I know you do see that in the way that we interact with each other, in the way that we greet each other and talk to each other. But I get to see it even more deeply in the way that we work for each other, the way that we help each other out financially, or just in doing things for each other's homes that otherwise couldn't get done. And I want to say thank you for that. And I want to say that that has been such a positive example for us as well, and for me specifically. And I am just so happy to have the honor of being asked to enter into this eldership, to work with Rick and Richard and Tim and Clay, men who I have known for up to 22 years, and that I have really looked up to and continue to look up to for all of the things that they bring in terms of their life, their example, their knowledge, their wisdom. And I pray that I can add to that and be a benefit to this congregation. I want to read from Scripture and make just a few minor comments, and then I will turn the lesson back over to Rick. But I wanted to read from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And Peter says, "The elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. I just want to state before all of you now that I am accepting this great responsibility with a mind that is willing to work, as we read about in Nehemiah, and willing to do a good work, as Timothy was told from Paul and Rick just commented on, and with an attitude of being a servant unto all of you. And I pray that you will encourage that and support that and hold me accountable to that. I'm going to close by just asking, as has already been stated, and Richard prayed this as well, but please continue to pray for me, for my wife Jennifer and our children, for all of the elders and their wives, and for the now 12 deacons and their wives. We would not be able to do our work without support of our family. And all of you. And so I ask that you would do that. And I look to the day that we are all perfected and established and settled by God, as he's promised. Thank you.
There is your new eldership. I'd like for you to, as Peter just said, be praying for all five of us now. We have a great work and a responsibility for which we will be held accountable in the day of judgment. I've always had this idea that when we stand before God as elders in the church, he's going to say, "Did you do what I ask of you? Did you watch for every soul under which they had committed their soul to you to watch to help them?" Please be praying for us that that might happen. We've now got 12 deacons. And there's your men who are going to serve this congregation with all their hearts. They have been, and now these three are added to that. We ask you to pray for them. Please, each day, if you would, say a prayer for us. We're trying the best we can to help you to go to heaven. And what a way to end this when I think about a passage when Paul had called for the elders of the church at Ephesus. They had a great work and a great trial going on in their life there in Ephesus. When they got there, Paul knew and understood what they were enduring, what they were having to put up with, what they were having to struggle through. And after he finished talking to them, he said, "And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him." It's okay to cry. It's okay to weep outwardly. These men did. And it's okay for us too. But I'd like for us also to weep inwardly. To weep for the souls of so many children in this congregation. There's 108 kids and four more coming. That's a lot of kids. And we're thinking about their souls as well. Be praying for them. And as we think about the responsibilities that we all have for bearing one another's burdens and thus fulfilling the law of Christ, I think this has just been a glorious day. I was asking Robert, "Have you ever seen this before?" He said, "Never." Isn't this great to see things like this, the love and the fellowship that we have for each other? And that leads me to my point, fellowship. Last Sunday night, Justin J. was baptized into Jesus Christ. He joined this fellowship. He's only 1 week into this spiritual relationship as a newborn babe in Christ. But maybe there's others out here who'd like to join him and become a part of this fellowship, become a part of this congregation. Jay was saying that on Sunday morning when Andy was preaching, he was wanting to come forward and he was holding on to the pew, the seat, and then he was getting, maybe coming the next verse that was going to be sung, he was going to come forward, and then the song was over. So he sat down and he came that night. What if the Lord had come back that afternoon? You think about that. I'm grateful that God was long-suffering and allowed Justin to become a Christian last Sunday night. But this Sunday morning, there might be someone in this audience who needs to do that, who needs to respond to the Lord's invitation. We ask you to think about that now, pray about that, consider it, and then respond to it. While together we stand and while we sing.